Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So, excuse me. So, as you're listening to me now, wherever you're listening to me, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for another blessed day and golden opportunity you have given us. Now, Lord God, we ask that you will be with us as we take this journey into this lesson tonight. Lord, we can't comprehend the truth without you, so God, we need you. So we're requesting you right now and believing that you are a keeper of your word. And you said with two or three are gathered together in your name that you will be in the midst. So, Lord, we consider you here right now because of your word. And therefore, Lord, we ask that you will minister to our hearts and let the truth come unto us. Word my mouth that it may bring glory and honor to your name. And then touch the hearts of those that are listening, that they will seek your face about what they hear tonight. In Jesus' almighty name. And Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise, and we magnify you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So, tonight, it's titled Spiritualist, Communion of Spirits and Ministry of Angels, Part 3. This is the third and final part of this series. Amen. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to start off once again reading to you about what they say concerning this subject here, a communion of spirits and ministry of angels. For those of you, the first time listeners, I want to say to you, hey, after you listen to part three tonight, go back and listen to part two and part one so you can be caught up to speed. And so I want to read to you again what this is one of the principles that the spiritualists or those who practice what is called spiritism believes concerning communion of spirits and ministry of angels. And I want to read to you once again what they believe in dealing with this. Many spiritualists consider this as the key principle. All religions believe in life after death, but only spiritism shows it is true by demonstrating that communication with departed spirits can and does take place. Spiritualist churches and centers provide many of the venues where communication through mediumship is possible, and many loved relatives and friends take advantage of this opportunity to continue to show an interest in our welfare and us. Now, so the spiritualists believe that you could communicate with departed spirits or people that have died. They believe that you can communicate with loved ones, friends, you name it. And we have been looking to see, believing, and teaching is true scriptural, biblically backed up, you name it. And thus far, we have been seeing that it is not true, okay, that this what they're teaching and believing on is not supported by the true and living God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't support it. And I'm going to be going into the scriptures to show you, to give unto you witnesses that, you know, to this thing, that is not true. My goal in Christ is to give you the word of truth, because many people are being deceived by these religions. My goal is also for those in these religions, which is the will of the Father, Jesus Christ, that they repent and come to him. Okay? I'm not doing this to say it's over for them. They don't have a chance. You know, we got too many Christians today with that kind of attitude with people, that they think that, for example, I heard one Christian told me years ago, once a murderer, always a murderer. I said, well, you know, I'm so grateful that Christ didn't think that way about you, about the stuff that you did before you got saved. So you do have some Christians that have the mindset, and it's funny, it's on certain sins, okay? Because they forget that they was a sinner before they got saved. But on certain sins, they think that that certain sins just wipe out the whole chance of that person, okay? That person don't have no chance, period. And so they come with the statement, once a murderer, always a murderer. And that's not true, not in the sight of God, okay? So the spiritualists, as I said before, they believe in communicating with the dead. Now, I've already, you know, given you proof and showed to you in part one and two that these spiritualists who claim to have gotten in touch with your dead grandma or granddad that you may have went to say, hey, I want to keep in touch with them and say this and that to them. And you actually thought that when you was in that place with them, that's a spiritualist, and you start hearing this voice that sound like your relative, you actually thought it was your relative, but it wasn't. It was a what you call a familiar spirit, what the Bible calls a familiar spirit, a demon spirit that was familiar with your loved one and could say some things, you know, that this demon spirit knew to try to convince you that that was your loved one. Now, that's the honest truth. And so, having said that, I'm going to go into the Word of God with you, and we're going to take this journey. Our first witness we're going to look at in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Glory to God. Joshua chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to read verses 1 to, I was going to read verses 1 to verse 5, but I may read to verse 7. Joshua chapter 1, glory to God. And here's what the Word of God says. Thank you, Jesus. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Now, let's notice something here. And we are told in verse 1 that the Lord spoke to Joshua after the death of Moses. Okay? Hallelujah. Notice what God said in verse 2. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even unto the children of Israel. And more words he said after that. So this is what I want you to see. Okay? Glory to God. Notice that God didn't tell Joshua that he could communicate with Moses while he was dead. I wanted that to sink in. He told him, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then he said, go over to Jordan. God let him know, said, I will be with you. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Telling him to be strong. Telling him that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. But notice he didn't say, when he told him that my servant Moses is dead, he didn't say, but you would still be able to communicate with him. Or you'll still be able from time to time to get in touch with him while he's dead. Do you see that? Hallelujah. He didn't tell him that. Glory be to God. In fact, God was showing Joshua, now you will be communicating straight with me. As Moses was my spokesman to you and children of Israel, now I would deal directly with you. And that Joshua, you would be like my spokesman to the people. Because why? He's now in the leadership position. Glory to God. Do you see that? He didn't tell him, say, hey, my servant Moses is dead. From time to time, you'll be able to communicate with him. Joshua was not given that power to access into that realm in that way where he could just go communicate with Moses while he was dead. Do you get that? Because if he would have been able, then God would have said it here. See, God had a chance to express that, because why is that? Because God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. He had a chance that if Joshua had been given that power of access to Moses while he's dead, to communicate with him in such and such a way, then God had this opportunity to let Joshua know at the point when he said, my servant Moses is dead. But he didn't say that. Why? Because it's not given to us in this realm to, quote, to communicate with those who are dead. Okay? In other words, we can't go back. You know, Grandpa been dead for 30 years. We can't at any time. And notice that in with the spiritualists, you know, you could just go back, go up to them mostly at any time. Go visit one at any time, say, hey, I want to talk to my dead granddaddy. Oh, okay. See, you ain't got to worry about coming to God. Okay? Do you get what I'm saying? You ain't got to worry about consulting God. You can just do it whenever you want to, or go to anyone you want to, okay? So we didn't throw God out of the equation. You understand what I'm saying? God, see, one of the things the devil want to do, he want us to throw God out of the equation. He wants you at a point where you feel like, hey, I ain't got to ask God nothing. I can do what I want to do. You know, so many people have that attitude. I'm talking about even some people that got saved, because they still with that attitude that, I'm my own person. I can do what I want to do. I ain't got to consult God. So this is why some of you as Christians, when you're talking and minister to them about, hey, won't you ask God before you make that move, they get an attitude and get upset with you. And they'll be quick to say, well, I believe God want me to do it. They see, you know, it ain't about with them consulting God. Oh, sure, they want every benefit they can get from God, but when it comes to consulting God, that's a different story, okay? Oh, no, I want to do my own thing. And so the devil wants you to, quote, do your own thing in a sense, because he wants you to put God out of the equation. No, don't include God, okay? So God did not tell Joshua that my servant Moses is dead, and at any time you need some advice, I've given you the power to communicate with him while he's dead. He didn't tell him that. You don't find that. So now Joshua has been to step up more into the place of leadership now that Moses has passed, okay? And while Moses was here on earth, he could be under the ministry of Moses, okay, to learn concerning the Lord, okay? But now the time of Moses has come that he has passed, okay? And now it's time for Joshua to step up into a leadership role. And you know, that's what God is doing with many of his people today. Many of his people have been under the leadership of others in the way of the Lord, okay? And now the time had come that those others have passed. But now it's time for you to step up, okay? Because, see, God knows man, and sometimes man gets so attached to man that he won't do anything. So, for one thing, Moses wasn't going to live. Moses would have lived forever, you know, Joshua. Because, see, sometimes there has to be a removal. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about people always dying. Sometimes God may tell a person who's being used to teach someone, okay, now it's time for you to go on. It's time for that person you were teaching to step up, okay? They got to step up. Because if that time don't come, that person will be always dependent on the ones who they are under their leadership. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, I'm not saying that leadership is no longer needed at any time. But what I'm saying, when it comes to a time for a person to step up to the place that God wants them to be, sometimes it calls for a removal. And when I'm talking about removal, not always dying, okay? God may tell the person who's teaching you, okay, it's time for you to move on. Maybe let's say, for example, move with, tell them, say, hey, I got an assignment for you in another state. Okay? Do you get what I'm saying? So God did not tell, once again, he did not tell Joshua, okay, Moses, my servant, is dead. And but anytime you need some advice, because you was under his ministry in me, I've given you the power to consult with him or talk to him while he's dead. He didn't say nothing about like that. And so we're not given that to do, okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank God for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, New Testament. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The book of Luke, we're going to go into chapter 16. The book of Luke, chapter 16. And I'm going to read verses 20 to verse 31. Luke, chapter 16, verses 20 to verse 31. Glory to God. Verse 20, Luke chapter 16 said, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Okay. In fact, let me back up to verse 19. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, living luxury every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and see if Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from this. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Glory to God. Abraham said unto him, they are Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Glory be to God. Now, when you look at, for example, our key verses, which is verses 27 to verse 31, one from the dead wasn't allowed to communicate with they who were living in this physical realm. In other words, when the rich man said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, send the beggar, Lazarus. And Abraham said, hey, they got Moses and the prophets, okay? That's what he said. And so the rich man said, yeah, no, but if they, you know, see someone from the dead, he said they will repent. And Abraham said, you know, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, they're not going to hear if someone come from the dead. So that communication between this realm and those that are dead is not there, okay? Hallelujah. They're not being sent back. They're not being sent back from the dead into this realm, okay? And people in this realm can't up and just communicate with any time with them that are dead, okay? Because even the rich man, if that be the case, even the rich man who was dead himself, and see, he was telling Abraham, he said, send him to his family. Notice, he didn't say just, you know, Father Abraham, send him out to the people and tell the people not to come here. No, this man was, quote, concerned about his family. He said, because I got five brethren, okay? So if he or they had access to him, or he had access to them, he could have talked with them himself, right? Or they could have communicated with him, and he could have told them himself. But see, apparently, he must have knew something there that he couldn't communicate with them, or nor, neither could they communicate with him. So therefore, he thought Abraham could, quote, send the beggar back to tell them, say, hey. But see, that ain't how the workings of God go. See, just like some of you, and I don't mean to offend you, but I have to be real with you. I've heard many people say, you know, when something good happens to them, whether they got a job, a good job or something like that, they say, you know, my grandma, she guided me the whole step of the way. She talked to me the whole time. She told me not to do this and told me to do that. And grandma been dead 30 years. And they're claiming that grandma's talking and leading them, and it's not grandma. Grandma ain't doing that. Okay. Now, when it comes to the good things, real good things, the Bible tells us that which is good comes from above. Many times God do some things for people, and they still claim that it's the grandma. But most of the time when people talk about a dead relative is talking to them, it's a demon spirit. It's not that person. Okay. God is not sending your dead relative back to this realm to communicate with you. Neither has he given you access to communicate with your dead relatives or friends at any time you want to. It's not in the scriptures. Okay? So what the spiritualists teach is not of God. And who they are communicating with is not the people that you think they're communicating with. They're communicating with demon spirits. And these demon spirits are deceivers. Okay? Amen. You know, for example, have you ever had somebody to try to play a joke on you? Say they call your house and you answer the phone and they try to talk like they were somebody else that you knew? And let's say if it was a man and this woman called and said, "Who is this?" And say they knew the woman knew your wife's name and said, let's say if your wife's name is Marion, she'll say, "This is Marion." And you like, "Huh?" And you said, "No, you ain't my wife. You ain't Marion." "Yes, I am." You know, well, see, that's what, see, demons do that to deceive. And see, the spiritualists want you to think that you're actually talking to your dead loved ones or your friends, but you're not. Okay? You're not. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And if you ever notice in the 27th chapter of Matthew, those that were dead that did appear again to the people in the city, they were people who died before Christ came, or they died before Christ was crucified. And they became part of the first resurrection. That's when Christ rose, who paved the way for those who had died, who had came before Christ and was of service of God, resurrected. Okay. But see, people that die after Christ, they're not coming back to communicate with loved ones. Why? Because one of the reasons is they haven't been involved in the resurrection yet. Okay? So you have to understand that God is not, has not opened that pathway for you to talk to your dead relatives and get some guidance and all that stuff from them and get to talk to them. No. And see, sometimes, like I told you before, people are so distressed and down in the dumps. They may have had a bad argument with that loved one, with that family, that friend. And now they're feeling heavy or hard because of some of the stuff they said to them. And now that person died. And so for them to get some kind of relief or solace or whatever you want to call it, they say, "If I could just talk to them and tell them that I'm sorry," and they hear them to say they forgive me. And so they go to these so-called, these spiritualists who claim to be able to get in touch with them. And the person thinking that, "Hey, this person got in touch with the person I want to talk to," but it's not. It's a demon spirit. Amen? Glory be to God. Now, let's stay in the book of Luke, and let's go to Luke chapter 23. Now, I'm a Luke chapter 23, and I'm going to tell you why I'm going to read these verses, 46 to verse 56, and then probably verses 1 through 6 in chapter 24. Okay, and I'm going to tell you why I'm reading it. So let's look at Luke chapter 23, and let's go to verse 46, okay? Verse 46, and I'm going to read 46 to verse 56 starting now, Luke chapter 23. Now, look what the Word of God says. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." In other words, he died. "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. Now all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. And he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found a stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Okay. Now. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Verse 7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now, you said, well, Brother Nate, why did you read so many verses? Well, if you look toward the end here in chapter 23 and 24 of Luke, you can look also toward the end, you know, around Christ's crucifixion in Mark, Matthew, and John. Notice that none of them, none of the witnesses of these men, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, none of them told you that between the time that Jesus died and his resurrection, that any of the disciples was able to communicate with him while he was dead for those days. Now, I took a pause for that to sink in. Now, we know that from Peter, it said Jesus went to those that was in prison down there show, and he preached to them. But while the time he was dead, before he rose, none of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John testified to you that the disciples were communicating with him while he when he died. When he was dead, rather. None of that. You get what I'm saying? They was not given any power to access that realm in that way, okay? You don't see that. Jesus started dealing with them, communicating them and all that after he rose. Do you get what I'm saying? And see, he told them on the third day that he will rise, okay? So if they were able to communicate with him at any time, he really wouldn't need to have given that information. Now, would he? But he did, okay? Letting them know that how long or when he was going to resurrect. But see, if they had that access to communicate with him while he was dead, then he wouldn't have to tell them that he will rise on the third day. They can just, any time, you know, when he was dead, just say, hey, Jesus, what are you doing? You know, when you're coming back, and could have got the answer that way. But that was not given to them. And it's not given unto man to do that, okay? So when you hear these spiritualists, once again, and they're trying to convince you and tell you one of their principles is that they're able to communicate with departed spirits. No, they ain't. Now, they're able to communicate with dead spirits, which are Satan and his demon spirits. Okay, they're able to communicate with them, okay, your departed friend, loved one, whoever, no. So don't be fooled by that, okay? God doesn't want you to be fooled by that, because if you get wrapped up in them doing that, you're going to come under a curse, and that will open the door for these demons to attack you. You get what I'm saying? that even opened up the door for demons to get in people. Okay. You know, it's dangerous. I ain't trying to lift up Satan and his demon, but it's dangerous fooling around in the, quote, lost spirit world of these demons. But see, spiritualists don't tell you all that. Okay? They ain't going to tell you all that. They want you to be convinced that they're talking to your friend or your relative or your loved one. They want you to be convinced of that. And the devil wants them to convince you of that. Why? So the devil can get access to you. So he can do what he wants to with you. Because he hates you and he can't stand your guts. Okay? Amen. See, the devil loves to see man cursed. God do not take no joy. Get this. The Lord doesn't take no joy in anybody being cursed. God get angry when you curse yourself. Okay? The devil gets a kick out of you being cursed. Amen. So people, they're not communicating with your dead relatives. They're not communicating with your friend. They're not communicating with somebody you request to talk to. Okay. Amen. Even your police forces be using these people that's dealing with witchcraft to, quote, solve murders and stuff like that. And they think that that's being good. Oh, we need you to get in touch with the dead woman that was killed so we can find her murderer. So they go to these spiritualists and these mediums and all that, okay? And this information is given to them. And here's the thing. It'd be some true information. But see, it come from a demon. The demon saw that. In fact, not only did they see what was done, they were helping enticing the person that was doing it. So why shouldn't they know? Now, demons are not all-knowing like God. Now, let's get that straight. But they do know some things, and they know some things concerning man. Because why? They've had a long time to study man. Okay? So, yes, they're going to be familiar with man, okay? They're not all-knowing like God, because God is all-knowing, okay? You ain't slipping nothing. You are more able to slip something by a demon than you would be able to slip something by God. You're not going to be able to slip nothing by God, period. He's all-knowing. In fact, before you put the act into motion, God already knew you were thinking, okay? It's just like if you were fighting somebody, get ready to swing, and they pop you straight up before you even swung. And they know what side you're going to swing from, too. You get what I'm saying? Now, let's look at one more. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. And I want to look at verse 23 and 25. Now, let's put it this way. Let me start at verse 22 and go to verse 25. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 22 and going to verse 25. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Paul, in his letter to the Christians at Philippi, I want us to look at what he says to them and catch what he said. Verse 22. He said, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better," like you said, "which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance or progress and joy of faith." Now, let's notice something here. Paul said in verse 23, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. Well, depart here means to die, to go on with Christ, okay? And he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I'm caught up between wanting to die and be with Christ and to abide in his flesh. And so in saying this, if he were to die physically, he would have been in another realm, okay? He said, to abide in the flesh is needful for you. Why? Why did he say it is needful for you? Verse 25 answers. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance, for your progression, and joy of faith. That's why. For their progress. So if he would have died, he wouldn't have been able to help them progress in the Lord in this realm. So if he would have died, that means they wouldn't have had no access to him while he's dead. Do you get what I'm saying? They wouldn't have had no access. He wouldn't have been able to help them. That's why he said to abide in the flesh was needful for you. And in order for me to help you to progress in the Lord, I have to be in the flesh. Do you get that? So he couldn't be dead. And so that means that they didn't have no, quote, power to get access to just talking to him at any time, say, hey, man, it's a weekend. Let's go holler at old Paul, see what he's doing. It wasn't nothing like that. Or you, hey, I got a problem. I wonder what Paul would have done. Well, let's go and see. Let's go communicate with Paul and get a word from him what he said. No. That's a no. No. You ain't got that access. So spiritualists that's telling you this, they ain't telling you the truth. And what it's doing is putting you in a dangerous area because, once again, you're dealing with demon spirits who these spiritualists are calling on. You say, oh, they call my Aunt Mary name out. It doesn't matter they call Aunt Mary name out. It's a deception. That is not Aunt Mary you talking to. Well, it sound like her. Well, of course it sound like her. They are copycats. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And, you know, if that be the case, you know, we wouldn't just need to preach the gospel as Christians, while we're alive here on earth. But we wouldn't need to do that. If that be the case, that people can have this access to people that are dead, well, you could be a Christian and dead and still be talking to them about the gospel and minister to them and spreading the gospel while you dead. But that ain't how God assigned it. He assigned it while we're alive here on this earth as believers. We are to preach the gospel, okay? Amen. Well, once again, you say amen or oh me or anyhow. I don't know. That's up to you, okay? But what I want to show you and what I've been showing you is that's not scripture. So what this spiritualist teach about communion with spirits is not scripture. Okay? And it's really saddening to me how some Christians in the name of peace and love will, quote, tolerate these kind of teachings and to some degree accept some of these teachings because, hey, we want to be at peace with all men because you know why? God said love all men and be at peace. Well, when he said that, he wasn't talking about you accepting these doctrines of devils and these teachings. He was not talking about that. See, sometimes we take this, quote, love to a place where God did not say for it to go. And when we take it to that place, it's not no longer the love of God. You understand that? Because, see, God didn't tell us because we to love man, we need to be naive. He didn't say that, okay? And so you got these spirits telling you this, see. And like I gave you in, I think that was part one, about how that man Marcus Barbanel, who claimed that he got his information from a spirit guide named Silver Birch, okay, who died over 3,000 years ago and come back as a Native American Indian. Don't know where he was before that, but he come back as a Native American Indian. And this is what he said. And see, And his, the sad thing about it, he got a lot of people believing that. Do you see where Satan's doctrines and teachings, with the doctrine and teachings of man, sets people on a course to hell? Do you see that? Amen. You know, I thank God that more and more he's showing me different things and teaching me on different things, because don't no man know everything. And I'm starting to see even the more why he tell us in the gospel. See, when you're preaching the gospel in this world to this nation, you can't leave out repentance. You're doing a gray area mistake if you leave repentance out. Because that's one of the keys right there. And when you look at these doctrine of devils and doctrines of men that men is putting out there and, quote, living by, you can see the importance of repentance, because these doctrines are setting them to a course of hell. These doctrines don't lead you on the road to heaven. Ain't no stuff like that in heaven. No communicating with your dead relatives while you're here on earth. Ain't no stuff like that, no doctrine of like that up there in heaven. Amen. That you can be here on earth and have that access, per se. Get up and just call them up, communicate with them, okay? No. Glory to God. So, and like I explained to you in this series, people that call themselves communicating with the dead, they're called necromancers. And you saw in Deuteronomy what God had to say about a necromancer. And even though, if I'm not mistaken, even though you don't see that word mentioned in the New Testament, God still feels the same about it. You know, I mentioned this to you before in this series, that there are certain things God said in the Old Testament. You don't see it repeated in the New Testament. And so people get this thought like, it must be okay. Just like, one of the biggest things, if I were playing Family Feud, I think this eternal would be number one, tattoos. Now, we saw in Leviticus that God said, hey, don't put no markings in your flesh. Don't trim your beard, all this certain way. Well, see, why are we saying that? Because them other nations were doing that to honor their gods, okay? Well, guess what? Have many nations stopped trying to honor their gods today? I don't think so, okay? And what God forbid you not to do that was connected to the demonic in the Old Testament, it don't change because we got in the New Testament. It don't change. Just like he spoke against adultery in the Old Testament, guess what? Speak against adultery in the New Testament. And anything in the Old Testament that attribute to occulted and demonic and witchcraft, it don't change because you're in the New Testament. You know, it's just too many Christians holler, wait a minute, come out of that Old Testament. We're a New Testament church. And it seems like whatever you come out of the Old Testament with, they have a problem with it. And my question is, what I'm showing you, spiritual principles, what is your problem with it? What do you mean? Have God changed on it? Just like we looked at yesterday, where God said those that, go after those that have familiar spirits, and those who are dealing with familiar spirits shall be stoned and stuff like that. Okay, do we do the stoning? No, we don't do the stoning. That was part in the ordinance right there. But go back and ask yourself, why were the people stoned? Because it was a sign of judgment because of their sin they was in. So the idea of judgment have not changed. It still represents judgment. If you are dabbling with the familiar spirits, or you're going to people that practice this stuff, these spiritualists, the idea of judgment still is going to hit you. It's still going to happen. No, you may not get stoned like they had to do back then, but that curse is going to come on you. And remember, I talked to you about when the Bible revealed to us, when Galatians 3:13 said Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, the Bible showed us it was threefold. Deuteronomy 28, Genesis chapter 2. And that threefold was death, sickness, and poverty. So when hearken unto the voice of the Lord, these curses had a chance to hit you. We get on you and overtake you, okay? So when you dabble with these familiar spirits, or you're going to people that practice this, a curse of judgment going to come on you, and it's going to hit in any of those three areas, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I share my testimony with y'all many times when I call this psychic, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. The curse hit me. Amen. I just thank God I repent, and that the curse of death, whether physically or spiritually, didn't get me, you know, before I repent, but the curse hit me, man, it hit me. And I told you the realm that it also hit is the spiritual, soulful realm and the physical realm. Well, that curse hit me in the soulish realm, and many degrees in the spirit realm, my spirit bothered me in my spirit, and the physical realm, finances, whatever, my body, you know. Amen. So, you know, that's the thing on that, and I've shared with you that, hey, these spirits that's claiming they communicating with your loved one, they're not doing it, people. I'm sorry, they're not doing it. They're not doing it. They're misleading you. Those are demon spirits that they're communicating with. I pray that those of you listening tonight, that God would, you know, register this in your spirit. I believe that some of you that's listening, you know, you actually think, and there's some people that actually think that these spiritualists are contacting the people that they want to get in contact with. Many don't know no better. And this is why God is having this word preached and taught, not just by me. There's other believers that's sharing this word, okay? Because God doesn't want people caught up in that point where Satan can have a heyday with them and they're being cursed. So he's getting this word out. Now, here's the thing on this one. When you are given the word, it is up to you to decide whether you want to accept it or not. Just like I'm giving the word today, I'm not giving the word to pressure you, to make you accept it. I did not ask anyone on here, hey, all you that's listening, send me your address, your phone number. I need to call you and see how you are you going to accept this word. No. What I'm assigned to do is to give this to you and drop it. Then now it's between you and God. I shake my feet, the dust off my feet, I go on, okay? So some of you listening, you may say, man, you're a quack. Man, I don't want to hear you. Man, go on by your business. You're just talking all crazy. Well, that's your choice. Then there may be some of you that say, you know, I don't know, but I think I will ask about this. And then there are going to be a few of you that say, hey, the Spirit of the Lord dealing with me about this. Yeah, this thing is true. What you're saying is true. That's how I leave it, people. I'm not, like I said, God did not commission us to hunt folks down. He didn't tell us to do that. And some of us as Christians, man, we on our sick beds now because we're worrying about whether the people going to hear or accept it. You know? See, they're going to come. So I'm going to have you speaking a word to a people who face look so mean and rough, okay? And if you pay attention to that face, you gonna disobey God because you, man, ain't gonna say nothing to him. Shoot, no way. See, everybody you gonna be sent to ain't gonna be having their arms wide open by the time you step out the car and say, come on in. Some people you gonna be sent to gonna have that look on their face like, I can really tear you into pieces right now. That's the kind of look they have. But you got to go in the faith of the Lord and not let fear overtake, you know. And I know it's tough sometimes. I do. I know that. I understand that. But if you hold on to the Lord, you can do it. Father, I thank you because once again, you have blessed me on this broadcast. You have given me strength to do this broadcast today. I am so grateful for such opportunity as this that you have given and blessed me in my body, strengthened me in my spirit. Glory be to God. I pray that everyone that was listening tonight have been touched by your spirit. I pray that your spirit will give them a nudge, or just point them into the way of direction to seek you. I pray that as they seek you in prayer and through your word, and that they'll go on a consecration and consecrate themselves unto you in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the many things that you have done. And I pray that you will break the curse of the life of those who are spiritualists, leading them to come to you, that the curse may be broken. And even to some Christians who have made that mistake, as I've done before, and going such a route that they're now cursed. I pray that you move on to repent, confess and acknowledge that what they did was sin, that curse may be broken. And Lord, we will give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Lord, say the same. Tomorrow night, I will be coming. We're still dealing with spirituals, but we're going to be dealing. Lord, say the same with another section. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night. Glory be to God. I am grateful for the time that I can be able to do this broadcast. And, you know, I'm grateful, too, for those of you that are believers who've been praying for me on this broadcast. I thank God for you because some believers don't realize the warfare that you're in. Every believer is not realizing the warfare that they are in. I mean, yes, they may have read the scripture in the Bible, okay, where it said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down a stronghold. They may have read that, said, oh, okay, well, yeah, okay, and went on. But not really understanding the type of warfare that we really in. Yes, Satan has been defeated. Oh, yes, our Lord Jesus whooped him and defeated him. But understand this, even though he's defeated, the devil is not laying down. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to give him, you know, glory. I'm just letting you know you're dealing with an enemy who is not laying down. Okay? Who would try to come against you and have. Okay? And so, on that note, we have to understand this, that God wants us to be equipped with truth. Because, people, we are in these last days. As I tell you before, there are going to be more demonic manifestation. Stuff is not going to be hid like it was at one point. It's going to be more demonic manifestation, okay, be seen, okay? People finna see it. Because remember, Satan knows his time is short, and plus the church have been running scared. And so the more scared the church get, the more bolder the enemy get, okay? Because if there's a people that he will have problem with on this earth, it will be Christians. When I say have a problem, he's going to have difficulty doing some things. It's because of the Christians, because the Christians got authority from Jesus. These other religions don't, okay? So he got them. He ain't worried about them, okay? The ones that pose a threat to him is the born-again believer, child of God. And this is why, child of God, and I pray you hearing this, that when you are starting to study the word to find out what God has given you, this is why you catching so much distractions. Because once the enemy see that you're starting to get in knowledge of what God has given you, he becomes more afraid. Because now God can send you to places where he got strongholds on people and use you to break those holds. And so the devil don't want those whole broke. So he say, hey, just get a mind all taken off of this, that they get it on something else, things of this world. And so this is why you have some Christians who are more concerned about building earthly treasures. They're going after notoriety here on earth. They're going after having more money here on earth. Five is for the things of this earth. When you begin to talk to them about the things of God and getting more to the things of God, you either get them where they start shutting down on you, or they get defensive, okay? You know, you'll see one of those two things. Or they may even claim to you they're doing it, but you can tell they're not. These are the days of uncovering. These are the days that's going to show. And if anything going to show how good the product is going to be the testing, okay? It's going to be the testing. So for those of you that have been praying for me, I thank God for you, because I really need your prayers. Glory be to God. Because much of this stuff that I'm speaking on, Satan does not want it to be told, period. He doesn't want nothing about it to be said. Okay, so he's in this thing right now where, hey, you know, if I can come at him and attack him to get him to give up, so be it. But when you're in something that God says, okay, I'm going to support you and I'm going to back you up, this is what I want you to do, then you're in good hands. You're in good hands. So I thank God for this opportunity they have given me to give the word unto y'all. And don't forget tomorrow night, another broadcast. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.